We have a nice sugya today, Mitz Hashem, about the bracha on tefillah, which is in Shulchan Aruch. We did, for the last 2 weeks, we were doing Kuf Tzadi Tes. Now we're up to Siman Reish. And this is based on a Gemara in Masechta Psachim, on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. So let's take a look quickly at the Gemara, and we'll see Rashi and Tosis. The Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmur, it's about two-thirds of the way down. Kol ha-mitzvus mevarach aleihem over la-siyosam. So we know that this is the basic principle in Birkas HaMitzvah, that the bracha comes before the mitzvah. And just on the side, it would seem that this halacha is very significant. It's not just a secondary technical halacha, because the post can work it out that it should be not after he started the mitzvah, but not too far in advance of the mitzvah. It should be really immediately before the Maisa mitzvah, as close as possible. There should be a linkage, a tziruf, between the bracha and the mitzvah. And perhaps the reason for that is because, just like in the case of Nehanim, the bracha should be right before he has the hanah, and not too early. People aren't makpid on this, but really you should be holding the food even at the time of the bracha. It shouldn't be laying on the table. In the case of the shofar also, you should be holding the shofar, because the Rambam, at least at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, makes an equation between Birchas HaNenim and Birchas HaMitzvah. The Rambam writes, Kishem Shemavarchem Al HaNoah, Kach Mavarchem Al HaMitzvah. Now, after this Gemara about Over La'siyasan, we get to the exceptions to the rule. And the Gemara establishes, in the name of Beirav, two exceptions to the rule. One which the Gemara understands, and one which the Gemara does not understand. The Gemara says, in the name of Beirav, Chutz min atvila v'shofar. And the Gemara goes into a long discussion trying to justify why the bracha cannot be made before the shofar. And even if you're afraid that maybe he won't blow it properly, so we should apply that logic to every single mitzvah, let's say shechita. How do you know when you make the bracha he's going to shecht it properly? Dilma mekalkala b'shechitasa, here also dilma mekalkala b'tkiyasa. And therefore the Gemara reformulates this brisa and says, forget about the word shofar, take it out, and instead just leave it chutz min atvila. And the Gemara says, Chutz min atvila, I do understand. El amar av chizda chutz min atvila bilvad. Now, why does the Gemara understand chutz min atvila? So the Gemara says, Dakati, that's a few lines above that, Dakati gavra lo chazi. In other words, before the tefillah, it's impossible for him to make the bracha. Now, why is that so? What does it mean, Dakati gavra lo chazi? So Rashi has one pshat, and Rashi invokes a whole sugya Masechta Brachos in the third perek. And Tosfos has a different pshat. So Rashi's pshat is, Akati gavra delo chazi, says Rashi, Kigon tvilas bali keri, the kaimelon be Masechta Brachos, sha'osur bedivrei Torah, ube bracha, the Ezra tikein tvila lebali kerion, ledivrei Torah. In the case of a Balkeri, and we'll see later on that the Gemara, that the Poskim are going to apply Rashi's logic to a case of Poleta Shechva Zara, because she's like the parallel of a Balkeri. Ezra made a Takana enjoining a Balkeri from Divrei Torah. Okay, why this Takana doesn't apply Bismana is a different story. But and the Takana of Ezra applies, Rashi says, not just to Divrei Torah, but even to a Brach. Now, does that mean because he mentioned Shem Hashem, or is Rashi saying something much more far-reaching, that a bracha itself has the status of Divrei Torah? Which is fascinating when you think about it, because when we read the Siddur in the morning, let's say Shacharis, from beginning to end, are we simultaneously fulfilling not only the mitzvah of tefillah, but also the mitzvah of Torah? Of Shinan Tov Levanech, meaning anything that Chazal established has a status of Divrei Torah. And that's why Ezra's Takan in joining the Balkeri against Divrei Torah would also include the bracha itself. That's a fascinating question. Like, for example, I don't know if you ever happened to you, where you're on the road, on your way to davening, and you recite Birchas HaShachar. Birchas HaShachar, because we all know Birchas HaShachar pretty much by heart. My Shver, for example, is very makbid. When he says Birchas HaShachar, he has to make sure that at least someone is saying Amen to his brachas. That's what his meaning is. And yet, if you haven't made Birchas HaTorah, I wonder about that. Okay, be that as it may, Rashi says the following. Okay, that's justifiable in the case of a Balkeri. But there are other Chayvei Tvilos, other people who are Chayvei Tvilo, that don't fit under this category of a Balkeri. So Rashi says, Mishuma hi Tvilo, because of the Tvilo of a Balkeri, Tikun b'chol ha-Tvilos b'rchasun le-basof. So Rashi says there's a kind of, if I could use the phrase, a low plug here, that once they established a bracha on tvila in the case of Balkeri, and there it had to be after the tvila, because before the tvila, kati gavra lo chazi, he's not royal of bracha. Therefore they made it one din, you know, one halach that regulates all tvilos, that the bracha of all tvilos is to be identical. And just like the bracha on tefillah in the case of Balkeri is recited after the tefillah, when he's no longer Balkeri, so too, in the case of other mechuyavei tefillos, the bracha will be recited after the tefillah. Tosas says, Omer Rabbeinu Chananel b'shem Hagon, dafka b'tefillas ger. We're not talking about Balkeri, says Rabbeinu Chananel. We're talking about a ger. No, that language of Gavra Lo Chazi really fits very well, because before he goes out to the mikveh, he's a guy, he can't say Shekin Shonim and Sosa Mitzivonu. Lo Chazi Konatul Antil Meim Mitzivonu Dakati Nochrihu. But now, Tosis has to answer two questions. Number one, why is Rabbeinu Chananel only interested, he only has a problem in the case of a Ger, of a Nochri Shemizkai, or he doesn't have a problem in the case of a Balkeri? That's one question he has to address. And the second question is, okay, Rashi said the reason why there's no bracha before the tefillah in the case of Balkeri is because Hakati Lo Chazi. And Rashi says all the other tefillos, they made one takana that the din should be identical in all cases of tefillah. And the bracha on tefillah is always after the tefillah. We're going to soon see how that impacts on the nusach bracha, that the bracha is not litbo with a lamed but ahalat tefillah, but we'll get to that soon. Now, Tosin's going to have to answer the question, well, if the real reason why the bracha has to come after the tefillah is because of a ger, once again, are we extending the bracha and the laws that govern the bracha from ger to all other chayvei tefillos? So Tosin addresses both these questions, and he says the following. Aval shar chayvei tefillah, kigon balkeri v'chayotze bo, mutal levarech. He can recite the bracha before tefillah. In other words, Tosas is assuming that the takon of Ezra only applies specifically to Divrei Torah and not to bracha, and therefore the phrase Akati Gavra Lo Chazi is inappropriate with regard to a Balkeri, because we're talking about bracha here, we're not talking about Torah. And for that, we'd have to really analyze the sugya of Takonas Ezra back in Masechta the Brachos. Be that as it may, Tosas says, therefore, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, there's no reason in the world why other mechuyavei tefillos, including a Balkeri, shouldn't recite the bracha before the tefillah. And that's where he ends it. So this whole din of lo plug, which Rashi established, Tosas just rejects it. So Tosas really argues with Rashi on two counts. Number one, he rejects Rashi as far as the status of Balkeri vis-a-vis brachos. And number two, he rejects Rashi's extension of this law of liachar tefillah to all shar chayvei tefillos. So therefore, Mutal Avarech, he should recite the bracha. And he quotes a later sugya in the same perek, Misha Meso in Brachos, instead of the sugya Daf Chav, which is the main sugya of Takanas Ezra. There's a sugya later on in Daf Chav Beis, and the Gemara says over there that we're already back at the time of the Tanoim, they were no longer concerned with this Takana. And the Balikeri were certainly allowed to daven before they went to mikveh. They were allowed to be mevarech. They were even permitted to learn Torah. And that's the story. So it comes out that according to Rashi, all mechuyavei tvila, beginning with Baal Keri and down the line, will recite the bracha after the tvila. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, only in the case of a ger, to which we could apply literally this description of akati gavlokod, he will not make the bracha until after the tvila. All the other mechuyavei tvila, including Baal Keri, will recite the bracha before the tvila. And in a certain sense, we can understand where Tosis is coming from. Tosis wants to balance two things. On the one extreme, you have this principle called lo pluk. Why don't we extend it and make it, you know, simple and straightforward for everyone? That's how the statutes go. On the other hand, there's a very pressing need in general for mitzvos that the bracha should take place before the mitzvah, and that's called overlasiyasa. So in juggling these two principles, Tosis says, I would rather prefer the principle of overlasios, and I don't want to forego overlasios on any, you know, on any occasion if I could just avoid it. In the case of ger, I have no choice. I'm going to forfeit overlasios, but only ger. Ger becomes the exception to the rule. Rashi doesn't seem to be impressed with that. Rashi says that tvila and its bracha, that sets up the rule. And since we're dealing with the laws of tvila, we group them all together, as we called it, a low plug, and the machayev of bracha, as far as tefillah is concerned, has got to be liachar tefillah, because I can point to you in one particular instance where the tefillah requires a bracha, not before the tefillah, but it has to be postponed till after the tefillah, because Baal Keri is enjoined from bracha. And therefore, when we come back to the klal, which is tefillah, and the prat, you know, the specific question is, when should the bracha be recited on tefillah? So Rashi says all tefillahs have to be equal. If one exception to the rule requires that the tefillah is after the bracha, then that rule has to apply to all tefillahs. We can't go the other direction. There's no way we can tolerate having the ger before his tefillah recite a bracha. Asher kitcharim mitzvos v'tzivanu. That's not a havamina. So Mimela, once I'm boxed in the case of a ger, and it's a gavlo kazi, and the bracha must be after the tefillah, then, since Rashi sees tefillah and the bracha on tefillah as one indivisible gush, so therefore Rashi is going to require, in all cases of tefillah, that the bracha be postponed until after tefillah. Tosis is not, he's not willing to do that. He's not willing to say, let's group all tefillahs under one rubric. Rabbeinu Chananel will have all tefillahs as a general rule. The bracha is before the tefillah, and that maintains the principle of overlasiyos. And in the case of ger, we have no choice. So we'll have to push the bracha till after tefillah. Now it's interesting, if Rashi is a little bit more flexible with regard to overlasiyosan, and Rashi is willing to, in all cases of tefillah, you know, postpone the bracha till after the tefillah, then the question I'm about to ask is not so poignant, it's not so chomor, but I think it's a question anyway. But according to Tosis, I think we have to ask a very serious question. How could the bracha be recited after the mitzvah? In other words, we have, let's say, I'm just exaggerating, but let's say we had 612 mitzvahs, and they all require a bracha over lasiyosan. And one mitzvah, in the case of ger, and only in the case of ger, we're going to forfeit the principle of over lasiyosan. That's a very strange halacha. Just on the side, I may be able to talk about this in the rabbinical council, that's a little bit of a plug. I'm going to be speaking for the RCA, and I don't know, when is it, about 10 days from now, I don't know.
Tuesday,
and one week from this Tuesday, so it's actually about 8 days. So I'm going to be speaking about Dalit Kosos on Lil Pesach, and one of the issues is why there's no special bracha, Asher Kitcharim Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, and the Avodram says that in such a case, the bracha can't be recited before the Dalit Kosos, which he gives an explanation why not. And he says, and if you'll tell me, well, why didn't they establish a bracha after the Dalit Kosos? He says, because then it wouldn't be over lasiyosan. I'm just trying to demonstrate to you that the principle of over lasiyosan is a very severe principle, and according to Tosus, it applies always, umetum, as we say, except for ger. Because, so I would have said that if the Avodram's yardstick would be applied to the ger, then let's just drop the bracha. In the case of Dalit Kosos, he says we have to drop the bracha, and the Chazal did not establish a bracha after he drinks the fourth kos. Why not apply the same principle in the case of get? So I wanted to suggest the following. I once heard from my Rebbe that the Ravid Shita in his Hasagas on the Rama, this is Perek Gimel Milchus Ishus, is that the bracha on this on Erisin is recited after the Erisin against the Rama. And the Rambam applies the principle of overlasiyasan to Erusin like he does to every other mitzvah. The Rambam even goes a step further. He says if he got to recite the bracha and he gave the tabas, is masha asa asa v'ein lo levar. But the Rambam says no, the bracha should be recited after the Erusin. And I was always wondering, how could you recite a bracha after the Erusin? So Rav Soloveitchik told us that in the case of Erusin, the mitzvah is not so much the maisa, Nesinas Hamos, Hareyat, but rather the Chalos HaIshus. And he said that the Chalos HaIshus is an ongoing Chalos. It continues going. And therefore, it's not like another mitzvah. Let's say I do a Maisa, I took the Lulav. After I took the Lulav, it's already Masha Asa Asa. There's no room for a Brach. The Brach can't be Chal on anything. Because he took the Lulav, Mfartik HaMaisa, Geendik, that's it, finito. But in the case of Ishus, that's what the Rav wanted to argue to explain the Ravid Shita, even though he already married her, but the Ishus is an ongoing, continuous halachic state or legal status, and on that halos he can make the Rav. So I was thinking maybe we could apply that according to Tosis in the case of Geirus, that maybe the Bracha is not on the Maisa Tvila, because that's impossible. Akati Gavrid Lochazi. So you can't make the bracha on the Maisa Tefillah. The answer is, the bracha will be chal after the Tefillah on the Chalos Kiddushas Yisrael. You know, when I heard from the Rav that Ishus is an ongoing Chalos, I smiled. So I was lucky the Rav didn't notice it, because sometimes if the Rav caught you smiling and shit, he wanted to know exactly why you were laughing. This used to happen very often, the Archei Kal up in Boston, the Rabbanim, who came from the Rabbinical Council. If they would crack a joke and the Rav didn't catch what was funny, he would stop them and tell me, you have to tell me what you're laughing about. So I got away with it. But what was I laughing about? Because when I was about 18 years old, I was learning in Eretz Yisrael and I heard the following story. I don't know if it's true or not. That Rav Chaim Brisker was walking arm in arm with Rav Shimon Shkop. Rav Shimon Shkop was younger than Rav Chaim and he learned in a different yeshiva, but he was very much influenced by Rav Chaim. So Rav Shimon said that I learned through the sugya in Kiddushin, and he had various proofs, and I came to the conclusion that Ishus is an ongoing chalos, and every second there's a new chiddush, it's mischadish, every second a new chalos Ishus. So Rav Chaim apparently didn't like what he said, so he looked at him and he said, Oy bazoi, kum tira mazel tov. But that's what Chazal say about Limud Torah, that b'chol yom v'yom yiyo b'necha k'chadosh, the same applies to marriage. Every day is a new chiddush. Anyway, so getting back to this now, you might ask the following question. Usually, as standard procedure, when a ger comes to be misgayer, in the case of a male, there's a two-step process, the first step of which is mila. Mila precedes tvila. So the question I want to ask you is, why does Tosus say that, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that Akati Gavra Lo Chazi, at the time of Tvila, he already did Mila? What's the answer, Joel?
He's not four yet.
Correct, because Mol Velo Toval Ki Ulo Mol. Meaning, Mila without Tvila does not engender Geirus. So, whereas in the case of an Akeva, all she has is Tvila. In the case of a Zohar, he has Mila plus Tvila. But Mila alone without Tvila is meaningless as far as Geirus is concerned. It's the first stage in the process. So Mimela Tosus says, even after the Mila, if he's ready to go into the mikveh now, it's still Gavra Lo Chazi. He can't say Asher Kidshanu Mitzosu V'Tzivanu. So therefore the Takana was that his bracha should come after the Tvila. Now he's a full-fledged Yisrael. And we're adding perhaps the bracha is on the Chalos HaGeirus. That's what I wanted to add. Fine. Now it comes out according to Tosfos in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel that in the case of Siman Reish, which we're about to learn in Mirtz Hashem, when a woman goes to mikvah, when should we recite the bracha?
Before.
According to Rabbeinu Chananel, before Tevila. And that really is an expression of the, you know, in an application of the general rule of over lasiyosan, and there's no reason why, you know, you can't apply the principle of agati akati gavlo chazi in this case. Even Rashi admits that, just that Rashi has the low plug. So it comes out like this. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, let's assume for the time being that Tosus accepts Rabbeinu Chananel. We'll see the next part of Tosus, but right now I assume it's fair. And according to Rabbeinu Chananel, she would make the bracha before the tefillah. Okay, and I want to see how the Rif paskins in just a second. According to Rashi, she would make the bracha after the tefillah. And why is that? Because once they establish in the case of Balkeri, so they include all chayvei tefillah. So let's take a quick look at the Rif. The Rif is in Psachim on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph in the Dape Harif.
Isn't it a problem that for generations they were doing it before in Ezra? There was no takana, so they'd make the bracha before.
For sure.
So why would they change?
But after Ezra, you have to change because now it's Akati Gavlo Chazi. And Tosfos says already by the time of the Sugya in the Amoraim, which is way later than Ezra, by that time they went back to the original situation because the Takan of Ezra with regard to Tibet Torah was no longer in vogue. For whatever reason, for that you have to learn the Sugya in Brachas.
So why did Rashi still accept it?
I don't know. Again, for that you have to really know the Sugya in Brachas about Balkeri. It's a very complicated Sugya. I once tried to teach it here. In this room, in this classroom, a couple of years ago, but it was complicated. So, what does the Rif say? The Rif writes the following: Omar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel Kol Hamitzus Kulon Mevarech Aleim Over Lasiyoson Omar Rav Chizda Chutzman Atvila Bilvat My Time of Dakati Gavrilo Chazi Tanya Nami Hachi Toval Vi Ola. He went out to Vikvon his way up Aliyosu Omer Baruch Ata Hashem. V'tzivanu ala tefila. U'mefarshilu rabbanon, and I have no doubt he's referring to Rabbeinu Chananel, de'betfilas ger bilvad omar, aval shar chayvei tefilos, mevarchim v'achar kach tovlim. That's about as explicit as you can get. And he applies this specifically to the case of a nida, and then to the case of a zava. Fine. He wants to prove that other chayvei tefilos are allowed to make the bracha. He says, "Kaimel and dinida kotzel achalosa umechayev levruchei lahafresh chala." So, when a woman who's a nida is mafresh chala, she still makes the bracha. So, there's no reason to apply akati gavelochazi in the case of a nida. Utna nami gabizov shera keri v'gam nida shepolta shifazera. Is trichem tvila and korin umispalin, etc., etc. There's no need for the principle. There's no need to no logic to apply the principle of akati gavlo chazi. So we have now Tosfos in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, and we have the Rif. So you know when we gather together the forces and try to figure out what the Shulchan Aruch is going to paskin like, we really have a lot of, how should I say, heavy duty armor, you know, armor here, artillery on the side of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, let's see what the Rambam has to say. Rabbi, do me a favor, just put this on the side there. I was using it as a kind of a bookmark. Sam, you have the Gemara of Psachim. Can you tell me, maybe if you can do me a favor, save me the time? I know it's Perek Yud Aleph, Mihilchos Brachos. If you look in the Ein Mishpat, so I'll tell you exactly where it is. Vav? Is that Aloch Vav maybe? Aloch Gimel it says? Okay. Okay, so in Aloch Gimel, the Rambam just establishes that there's a principle of over lasiyosam, and the Rambam extends that principle to include even mitzvos derabbanan, like Mikra Megillah, Ner Shabbos, Adlokas Ner Chanukah. Okay. Right, that's what I just read. But what's the next one after that? Does he have something? Well, there should be another Rambam. Just one second here. All right, we'll find it a little bit late. I don't want to... Sometimes I find it pretty quickly, but other times it takes me a little bit longer. So I'll leave this here. Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos. So I'm pretty sure the Rambam also passes like the Rif and like Rabbeinu Hananel. I'll just, if you can find the Lashon inside, that would be great. Okay. Now we go to the Ri in Tosfos. The Ri in Tosfos writes the following: Afal Pichin, meaning even though we've established, like Rabbeinu Hananel, that the bracha on tefillah in general, with the exception of a ger, is recited before the tefillah, Afal Pichin, Omer Ri di Ein Ligar Binoshim
Zion.
Oh, good, good. Ein Ligar Binoshim. We should not protest against the women. Shemavarchos Achar Hatvilah. And why not? After all, Overlas Yosin is not a small matter. Kevon de'ikot betfilas ger de'lo matzi levarech. In the case of ger, the bracha has to be after the tefillah. Lo chilku. We can allow it to go by in the case of a nida as well. Fine. Okay, once we have the Rambam here. Zayin ein l'chad mitzvah shvarchan lev achah asiyos lo mil betfilas ger sheni yochel lo vashay kichon mitzivanu shadayin lo niskadesh vol nitztavad shiyitbol l'fichach achah shiyitbol v'varchah l'tfilah. And that's all he says over here. He doesn't say a word about any other cases of tevila. I don't know if he speaks about mikvah in the case of a nida explicitly, but certainly by implication, he seems to have accepted the Rabbeinu Hananel. So Rabbi, again, once again, I have to trouble you just to put it back on. Okay, great. In case we need the Rambam later, we'll leave it open. Okay. Now, where are we up to? Let me just... So that's the Ri. Now let's take a look in the tour leading up to the Shulchan Aruch. The tour is in Siman Reish. Bebirchas HaTvila Kasav Bahag La'achar Shetale Min HaTvila Tevarech Asher Kitshon Mitzosu Tivanu Al HaTvila. So that sounds like whose shita? Like Rashi shita. The Bahag apparently accepts Rashi shita, and the Tur quotes the Bahag. And then he writes V'chein Pirish Ri, and then he quotes the Ri Bala Tosfos that the bracha should be recited after the tefillah. And the Beis Yosef doesn't like this at all. Says the Beis Yosef, after quoting the Ri, as we have it, D'ein Ligar B'Noshim Shemavarchos Achar Atvila, he says the following: Avol Abol Limloch, according to the Ri, if she would have come to ask us the question, Nire Demoda Ri, Demorim Lo Kedivri HaGaonim, you remember that Rabbi Hananel was quoting the Gaon, Levarch Liftei Atvila. The Intain Lo Havile LeRabbeinu. This is Beis Yosef's critique on the tour. Lichto V'chein Pirish Ri. It's really not so. V'chein Pirish Ri, because the Ri, if you would ask him how to paskin lechatchila, he would have encouraged her. Abal Limlo Shetavarech Liftei Atvila. It's only Ein Ligar B'Noshim. That's the Beis Yosef's question on the tour. Meaning, the tour is a little bit unfair, stacking the cards in favor of postponing the bracha, to after the tefillah by quoting the Ri, The reed doesn't belong here. The reed just says, Ein ligar benosh.
Can you read the Torah again?
The Torah says the following. Birchas HaTfila, Kosev Bahag, Li'akash HaTala Min HaTfila, Tevarach HaShem Kitchonim Sosva HaTfila, V'chein Pirish Ri. And then he goes on to say that...
Have you seen the Bahag inside?
Maybe. No, I don't have the Bahag.
Maybe the Bahag is talking only about care.
That would be another kasha on the Torah, because again, the Torah is an Ilchus Nida. Right, so the Torah is talking... So I don't know, you know, we already have one accusation against the Torah. Why did the Torah invoke the reed to say that, you know, the women should be making the bracha after the tefillah? Says the Beis Yosef, that's not the reed. The reed is saying that we can't make a big shtick about it. You know, can't be protesting against the women. They live our benoshim. But no doubt that if the reed was asked l'chatchila, what should we advocate? We would have told the women to make the bracha before the tefillah. So there the Torah is really overstepping his bounds. Now, in the case of the Bahag, I don't know. You know, did the Bahag speak about Tefillas Ger, or did he speak about all Tefillos, including Tefillas Nida? I don't know. I'm going to trust the Torah for the time being, because otherwise the Beis Yosef would attack the Torah on that level.
Is there no consideration that if the bracha has to be immediately before dipping, she's not dressed properly?
Yeah. That's going to be the second half of Ashir. Or maybe Ashir on Wednesday, depending on, you know, how long it takes us to get through this half. So our Ashir is made up of two parts. Part number one is, when should she make the bracha? And part number two is, how does she make the bracha because of the problem of Erev? Okay. Now, Tosis writes the following. After quoting the Ri, that Ein Ligar Benoshim, says the Ri, because, you know what, she's not doing something catastrophic, because we already have a bracha on Tvila in the case of Ger, after the tefila, the bracha is after the tefila, is therefore, you know, she's not doing anything drastic, and we could allow her to get away with making the bracha after the tefila in this case as well. Then he writes, "V'yesh mefarshim debechol tefilos ka'amar de'gavra lo chazi." Every single one of the, again, in Rashi, gavra lo chazi is referring to a baal Kerry. Okay. In Tosfos, in the name of Rabbeinu Chanan, Akatil Agavim is supposed to get. Now we have a Yesh Mefarshim in Tosfos that Agavim Lochazim referred to all Chayvei Tvilos. Why? The Kodem Shiyorad Lamayim Eino Tzorech Levarech. Again, the language is very ambiguous. Eino Tzorech Levarech. Again, I would have been a lot happier if it would have said Eino Yochel Levarech. But he writes, the Dilma Mishum Bi'usa Demaya Mimna Velotavia. Maybe he's going to get scared by the water. Maybe it means it's very cold. And, you know, in those climates, they didn't have the sophisticated heated mikvahs that we have. But whatever it is, he may chicken out. You know, even if it's a warm mikvah, you can have, you know, second thoughts about dunking your whole body in. And therefore, he should postpone the bracha until after he comes up. Now, once he's already down in the mikvah, and you see that he's not really scared anymore, let's say, again, you might argue that he's scared because he hasn't dumped his head in the water, but let's say he sees that the water temperature is good for him, so he's about to... He says at that point, and this is the second half of the shiur, which we're not up to yet, but I'm just going to mention, Joel, is Azhu Arum V'Asalo Levarech. That's going to be a major plukta, whether the water covers his body or not, and we borrow us ever in the hole, but that's not, we're not ready for that. Fine. So we now have three different approaches to what the Gemara, what Rav Chisda means by Akati Gavra Delo Chazi. We have the Shita of Tosus in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, and I argue that the Rambam accepted that. It's clear, crystal clear, that the Rif accepted that. And that is that the Tefillah, only in the case of a Ger, should require that the bracha be postponed till afterwards. Other Chayvei Tefillos will make the bracha before. We have the Sheet of Rashi, that in the case of a Valkeri is a Gavalo Chazi, then they extended that to all Chayvei Tefillos. Then we have the Yesh Mefarshim that assume that Gavalo Chazi is not limited neither to the case of a Ger nor to the case of a Valkeri, but applies to all Chayvei Tefillos insofar as every human being might chicken out, might get scared and not go into the mikvah. The Beis Yosef says that the Torah again overstepped his bounds. This is very critical of the Ushur. He says the following. He says that if the tour is going to be interested in postponing the tefillah, excuse me, postponing the bracha till after the tefillah because of bisusa, he says the following. He says, "Ein ha-pirush ahu nachon klal." Now again, this is not so much a critique on the tour as much as a critique on the Yesh Mefarshim and Tosfos. "Ein ha-pirush ahu nachon klal." The gavrit lo chazi lav mishum bi'isusa demaya mashma. In other words, the language of the Gemara, gavra delo chazi, means that there's some halachic problem here in reciting the bracha. He's telling me that no, there's some sort of psychological problem. And I assume the Yesh Mefarshim would counter and say, well, because of the psychological problem, we have a gavra delo chazi, because he's not royal of Varech if he's not going to follow through with the mitzvah. To make a bracha and not follow through with the mitzvah is a very big problem. I have an additional problem, maybe this is also part of what the Beis Yosef has in mind. The Gemara in the case of shofar is not willing to postpone the bracha until after the shofar. Now you and I know that not every shofar blower, you know, hits the home run. You know, it's Baruch Hashem here we have Rabbi Meisner, it's unbelievable. I've never seen a Baal Tekeh like him. He barely makes a mistake and he just belts it out. You know, that's because as a child he studied the trumpet. He told me so. But for many, many, Baal Tekeh, it just, it's not a lucky day, that Rosh Hashanah. Hopefully on the second day they'll do better. But sometimes they have to bring in a substitute. But yet the Gemara says, nevertheless, despite that all, we make the bracha before. And so too in the case of Shechita, we're not going to worry about the fact that he won't shecht it or maybe he'll find it a trick. For all that goes through, we're going to recite the bracha. And the same thing should apply to tefillah in a mikvah. Maybe even with a kalachot. But these Yesh Mefarshim were bothered by why is it that the Gemara doesn't differentiate between this Chayvei Tefillah and that Chayvei Tefillah? The name Baal Keri is not mentioned. There's no footnote here that we're talking about a ger. All it says in the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Chutzman HaTefillah Dakati Gavlo Chazi. And the Yesh Mefarshim were very motivated to apply that universally to every Mechamachoyim Tefillah, and therefore they came up with this idea of Bisusa. Fine. Beis Yosef is not so thrilled. Okay. Now, we want to understand our minhag. Now, when I say about our minhag, I mean the Ashkenazic minhag. The Ashkenazic minhag is against the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, but it's a further extension beyond the Rambam. What do I mean? The Mechaber paskins that she makes the bracha before she goes into the mikvah. Again, as far as the Erev issue, he's got her covered up with a chalok, okay, and that doesn't undermine over lasiyosa. Fine. Asher kitsham mitzos tzvon al atfila, and then poshetas chaluka v'tovels. Fine. So again, this is very beautiful because what the Mechaber is really saying is that we paskin like Rabbeinu Chananel, who in turn was quoting the Gaon. The Rif didn't blink about it, except in the Rabbeinu Chananel explicitly, and writes that as far as Nida is concerned, she'll make the bracha before him. That's explicit in the Rif. We have the Rambam also accepting Rabbeinu Chananel. So we've got really a tremendous group, and then we read the Tur, and the Tur disappoints us, so to speak, and he says, no, we akash etalim in atfi, based on the Baha. So the Rambam writes, v'yesh omrim, delo tevarech ad li'achar atvila. So if you lived in Krakow, 5 centuries ago, so that's what she did. She made the bracha after she came up for the mikvah. Because she lived in Krakow. But had she lived in Spain or any other Sephardic country, Cairo in Egypt, she would have made the bracha before the tefillah, like the Shulchan Aruch. That seems to be the way the halacha in Hilchos Tefillah evolves. But it's interesting. The story, the plot grows a little thicker. Why? Because the Chavas Das, whose name I think was, it'll come to me in just a second, a real typical German name, the Chavas Yar, excuse me, Bachrach was his name, right? Rav Yar Bachrach. He writes that the minhag of Noshim, we'll see how this evolved in Ashkenaz, is that they go down twice. They go down once without a bracha, and then they make the bracha, and the second time after the bracha. Okay, so let me read to you his language. He writes, Noshim tovlos pa'amayim, umevarchos bein tefila rishono letefila shnia, v'kach yotzim das ha-ga'onim, the Gaon means Rabbeinu Chananel in the name of the Gaon, that was accepted by the Rif. Shabracha kodem tefila shnia. Right, by wedging the bracha between the first and the second tefillah, the bracha is now going to be chal over lasiyasan on the second tefillah. So if you're pressing for the agenda of over lasiyasan, which is the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, with the exception of course of Ger, then you've accomplished your feat, satisfied the Gaonim, Rabbeinu Chananel, by having a bracha after the first tefillah, before the second tefillah. V'gam lotzeis yidei chovas Rashi, Shabrocha achar tefila rishona. But because Rashi insists that they made this all-inclusive halacha that the bracha has to come after the tefila for all chayvei tefilas, including tefilas nida, and we're going to be happy here to satisfy the shita of Rashi, because the first tefila will have no bracha, and then she'll make the bracha after the first tefila. So we've covered all of this. You know, if I was a historian, when I mean by historian, I mean a historian of halacha, I would have a blast with this, you know. Because again, some people tell me that when I quote Reb Chaim Brisker, you know, in his Derech Halima, they say, oh, Rebbe, it was even before Reb Chaim. And that's 100% correct. Reb Chaim didn't change Limud HaTorah. He made it into a science, you know. He made it into an absolute demanding high standard, but the Derech HaLimud was there way before Reb Chaim. I would insist back in the time of the Gemara. For example, Reb Chaim is famous for Gav HaChefta. That comes straight out of the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Nedarim about the difference between a Neder and a Shpur. So I've written extensively on this topic, but be that as it may, one of the Chidushim of Reb Chaim, which again is a mistake because it comes way before Reb Chaim, is Reb Chaim tried to be Yotz design for all the Shitas, that he would come up with new ways of standing on one foot and tiptoeing through the tulip so that you satisfy all the Shitas. But the Chavos Yoreh was way before Reb Chaim, probably a century before Reb Chaim, if not more, and that's exactly what he did, and hence the minog of Neshei Ashkenaz to be Tovelis Pamai. But Rabosai, this minog did not go without, you know, under the radar screen. And what I find absolutely fascinating in this new edition of the Shulchan Aruch, which is called the Friedman edition, they published something on the page of the Shulchan Aruch called the Otzer HaMefarsh. And they have here a piece as a critique to this minog, in the name of the Dogel Mirvav. Now, the Dogel Mirvav, the way I was brought up, is the Nodav Yehuda. So I'm not sure, because I know the Nodav Yehuda wrote extensively on Shulchan Aruch. Here, I don't know why he has to quote in the Otzer Mefarsh. So I suspect it may be possibly another Mechaber by the same name. I should actually look up here just to see. You know what? Why am I second guessing here? He tells you exactly. Oh. The Dogum of Vava is the Nodav Yehuda. So I guess this is the Nodav Yehuda. He says the following. Now, about the time of Bachrak, I'm not exactly sure whether they were contemporaries or not, was the Shalah HaKadosh. The Shalah may have been a little bit after Bachrak, but he adopted this minhag. And the Dogum of Vava calls him an Ish Kadosh. He was a holy man. And you and I might think that that's just an appellation, you know, to give him a compliment, but you'll soon see that even after this Dogel Mefava makes mincemeat, so to speak, out of the Shalah, which is really the tshuva of the Chavos Yoreh, after that he says, but we can't deviate from an Ish Kadosh. So that's about 50 lines later, but in the first line he says, Re'isi Ish Kadosh Midaber Hagon HaShalah. And he tells you in parentheses where to find the Shalah. And he writes, Li'achar shetitbol kol gufa tivarech v'tachzor v'titbol shames ad kan l'shon. So that's a quote from the Shalah, which I suspect historically he probably got it from the Chavos Yoreh. I don't know. You know, the historians will tell me this. V'lo yadati Ma tikun yesh betvila shenis. I can't begin to understand why he needs a second tefillah. She'im lotzeis yedei hasover she'yesh lo levarech konem atvilah, meaning the Gaonim, and that's what the Chavos Yoreh says explicitly, that the reason why she should make the second, the bracha before the second tefillah is to fulfill and satisfy the requirement of the Gaonim. He says, mikomakom, he says, kan hatvilah hashniyah lav klumhi. There's no meaning and no status to the second tefillah. You're trying to set up an overlas yosin for a maisa mitzvah. Well, there is no mitzvah in the second tefillah. V'lo shaycha le'bracha shekvar tahorehi al yedei tefillah rishona. And even though she didn't make a bracha on the first tefillah, he says brachos eino ma'akvos. So she was certainly yotzei the mitzvah and she became tahor through the first tefillah. The second tefillah, this is my language, right? It's a maisa kofi alma. You know, it's a meaningless act halachically. This I have. Oh, he says v'afilu nidchok. So he's going to make an attempt to make some logical sense out of this approach. V'nefarish de kavonas hagon hi that she should make a tnai. That she should be miskaven beferush in her mind. Right? She's got to be a big lamp now. She tefila rishona be'im shehadin hu, meaning if the din is like the gaonim, she yesh levarik kodem atfila is therefore lo yalala tefila zu harishona. She's making tnai. Look. If the halach is like the Gaonim, then I don't want this first tefillah to be a valid tefillah, because then I'm going to forfeit the overlasiyos. And the reason why I didn't make the bracha is because of Rashi Shita, the Balhag Shita, that this halacha starts with, shall we say, Balkeria, but it extends to include all chayvei tefillahs. V'im kein shafa yesh lo levarech al tefillah shnia overlasiyos gedas haGaonim. Because she made a tnai that if the halacha is like the Gaonim, then the first tefillah is not a tefillah. Kamba zelo mahani. It's not going to help. Why? The atu tefilasa rishona grua mitvila rishona benida shetavla below kavana klal kegon shenafla letoch mayim o sheyarda lehikoyer lehoker. Now here, he doesn't tell you where he's quoting it from, and he tells you in Shulchan Aruch where he's coming from, but this is a sugin chulin. If you want to make a note of it, this is a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan in chulin. Okay, I don't remember what daf it's on right now. And he says that we paskin ayin sof simon kuf tzadi ches shemahani, that this tefillah is meaningful. So let's go back for a split second to the end of kuf tzadi ches. And the Mechabi writes, neither shetavla below kavana, kigon shenafla letoch hamayim, o sheyarda lihaker, she wanted to cool off, harezu muteres lebaila. So you don't need kavana. So all the tanai that she makes here, that maybe the first tefillah is not meaningful, so that she can have a second meaningful tefillah after the bracha like the gonim, is not so. But then the Ramah says v'yesh machmirim, because again it's machlokas Rav and Rav Yochanan in Gemara, matzrichin osot tvila acheres v'chein yesh lahachmir lechatchila. So the Dogma of Rav says that's wonderful. You want to be machmir lechatchila and require a second tvila because the first one she fell in and there was no kavana, but that's not going to help you as far as brachos are concerned, because what are you going to tell me now? That you're allowed to make a bracha on the second tvila because she wasn't yotzei with the first tefillah, because the Ramah says yesh lahachmir and require a second tefillah. That chumrah is a very fine chumrah to require a second tefillah, but not to allow for brachah. Brachah, it's always something brachah lahakeh. He says afilu das hagon zal. He's referring to the shalah kidei ashniya shemuveis paramah shetzricha litbol shenis. Ulefichach mahani takonis zu shetitpol shenis utvarach lein tefilu tefilu. What's this called? A deus omer ani She yotza schar bef seda. She kvar posak rabbeinu agodol aramam zal behiltas mikvos. Perek alef alokates. Hatovil pramayim be mikvah reza meguna. Right? Okay, so that's a whole story. And furthermore, sofik brachas lahakil. Ulufima she posak aramam. Debeemes nidol abailu lo boy kavana. As im ikar atfila shnia. Ikat fila hashnia hirak lahoil li osa shesover nida boy kavana, but he says that's only a chumra. Aval chatchila lo boy kavana, lechatchila boy kavana, aval b'dieved lo boy kavana. Is mimonafshak leinyan bracha ein osim shum peula. He says that as far as bracha is concerned, you cannot consider that the first tefillah was not a tefillah and it was meaningless in order to allow it to make a bracha on the second tefillah. Umikomakom hoil v'yotza dover mipi hagon hakadosh yesh lachush lidvar. So that's the Dogel Mirvava. And again, it's a very fascinating phenomenon that logically he cannot justify this minhag, but yotza mipi, mipiv hakadosh, and that's the way we got to do it. Now, I wanted to suggest the following. Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos is world famous for saying in the sugya of mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana or tzrichas kavana that even if you hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, if you have a kavana shalolatzes, a negative kavana, you're not yotze. So it could be possible that the shalah is saying the following. It's true that if she falls into water and she cools off in the water, whatever it is, she's tahora labayla, and that tvila is meaningful and it's valid. But that's because she had no kavana whatsoever. If she had a negative kavana, then even according to that shita, it's not a tefillah. So again, let's go back to the tanai here. Her tanai is going to be the following. If the halacha is like the ge'onim, and I need over lasiyosan, then in this first tefillah, I don't want to be yotzei. And that's a kavana shelo latzeis. That will negate the kavana of the tefillah. However, if the halacha is like Rashi and the Bahag, and therefore I need to make the bracha after the tefillah, then let the tefillah be with kavana l'shem tefillah, or at least with a neutral kavana, because she doesn't even need a positive kavana. So that's what I thought, that maybe you could make sense out of this shalom. The only problem is, I'll be honest with you, and I hope this is not an insult to any of the ladies out there, but to assume that they have such a lumdish a cup that when they go in the first time around, they have this tnai, and noch tzi, not only just a tnai, that in case the halacha is like the goyim, this first tefillah of mine is nothing, they have to make a kavana shalola tzeis. But I'll tell you the truth, I'm even more nervous about something else. What would happen in the following scenario? Let's say a woman finds a chatzitza between the first tefillah and the second tefillah. Again, I don't think that's so uncommon. Because very often a woman reminds herself after tefillah immediately that she forgot to... Okay, we had a long discussion. What?
A band-aid or something.
Yeah, she forgot. I was going to say, contact lenses or earplugs or so forth. But then we had the tshuva last week of Moshe Feinstein that maybe that's not even a chatzitza because it's mute and ain't a makbid and it's beis hastarim, and if it's beis hastarim, if it's not dovek legufo, and all the discussion that we had last week. Well, let's say, like you say, Rabbi, she finds a band-aid. Oh, so now I think I might be in deep trouble over here. Why? Because now, let's say she had the following... Wait, 1 second, let me just work this out. She went in with a kavana shelo latzeis, right? So maybe... Well, let me just change one variable. When did she find the chatzitza? Wait, 1 second. I'm just trying to work out the mathematics here. Let's say she found the chatzitza after the second tefillah, correct? And now she had kavana shelo latzeis on the first tefillah. So now, if she finds a chatzitza after the second tefillah, again we have to work out the mitzvahs, but then the second tefillah is invalid, but she's okay because of the first tefillah, but now she made a tenai
for the first one too.
The chatzitza was there already, no?
No, I'm just saying, if again, I'll work out the mitzvahs, let me go slowly, but just in pure abstract terms. Can she rely on the first tefillah if the second tefillah is invalid? That's really the question I'm asking. Again, I'll have to work out the mitzvahs, how she found the chatzitza, or whatever it might be. If not for this piece of the Dagel Mervava, I would have said to you the following, that for sure the first tefillah is meaningful. In fact, according to Rashi and the Bahag, that is the tefillah. And even if the second tefillah is not meaningful, she's okay. She's muteris l'bayil because by virtue of the first tefillah. But now that we're saying that the first tefillah is to be yotzei zayin, the shita of the Gaonim, Rabbi Nechananel, and therefore she has to have a kavana shalola, it's a negative kavana, then that tefillah becomes totally meaningless. Or at least a suffix totally meaningless, because again, we don't know Lamaisa who is Maskelai. And therefore, we'd have to send them back running, because if the second field is invalid, I don't know if I can rely on the first field. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Meaning there's a certain luxury here that the halacha would allow itself with two tefillos. Now, I'm not saying that's enough to justify it. Even the shalah is not saying, let's why not throw in an extra tefillah over here? No, we're not saying that. That the halacha is not in favor that people might misunderstand and think you need two tefillos, whatever it might be. But nevertheless, b'di'evet, post facto, once I was satisfying the Bahag and I required that first tefillah as a no-go in order to set up the second tefillah so there'll be over lasiyosin on the second tefillah, then by making the first tefillah no-go, I can no longer rely on that tefillah if I need to, b'shasadcha. That's what I was worried about in this case. So again, I have to work out the mitzvahs. Why there would be a suffix tefillah in the second tefillah, so that I really want to rely on the first tefillah. But if there is such a case, then I'm a little bit in trouble, according to the Chavas Das and according to the Shalah, if we're assuming that the first tefillah is meaningless in order to be yotzei zayin the Gaonim Shita, so she can make a bracha over the Lasiyasa for the second tefillah. Okay, now I had a different thought that I wanted to share with you. Could it be, again, it's a chutzpah what I'm saying, but Torah Yiva Luman and Yitzhar, could it be that the Dagel Mervava is totally mistaken here? What do I mean? There are two issues in tefillah. One issue is tara, and the other issue is mitzvah. Meaning, as far as tara labayil is concerned, there's one set of rules that govern. And that's the sugyan chulin, and the maskara, the way we paskin, is that eino chinami without kavana, she's yotze. What does it mean she's yotze? So the Dagel Mervava understands she was yotze in the mitzvah. And therefore, if she was yotze in the mitzvah, in this case of the chavas yoyer, etc., with the first tefillah, we have a problem. How could she make a brach for the second tefillah? She's already gandik. But the answer is no. What the Dagel Mervava is invoking here at the end of Kuf Tzadi Ches is the issue of tahara labayla. For that I don't need kavan. But there's another dimension here to the issue, and that's the bracha dimension. The bracha dimension is engendered not by the tara labayla, but by the mitzvah. And it's quite possible that she could be metaheres esatzma labayla, but yet she has to forfeit the mitzvah. So for example, if I hold that she's tahora labayla without kavana, that doesn't mean that mitzvah ain't trichas kavana. I can hold mitzvah trichas kavana, because to make this act into a mitzvah, I have to have kavana l'shem mitzvah, and that's very logical. But nevertheless, as far as the tefillah is concerned, the tefillah depends and is gendered by the maisa tefillah, or the mitzvahs of tefillah. I don't need kavana for that, according to that mandiyom, and that's how we pask it. So, eino chinami, I would grant the Dagel Mervava all of his premises, that the first tefillah is definitely meaningful. You'll ask me, how could she make a bracha on the second tefillah? That should be a bracha of atola. The answer is because she wasn't yotzei zayin the mitzvah of tefillah with the first tefillah. So what I'm suggesting is, again, in a pure theoretical world, this is not halacha lemaisa, obviously, that if a woman falls into the sea and she has no chatzitzos, that she's muteris levayelisni. But I would still tell her to go to mikvah for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillah if I hold mitzvah srichas kavan. Now that itself is a gigantic issue, whether mitzvah srichas kavan or ain't srichas kavan. But I'm just suggesting that this might not make a difference. Okay, now let's get back to the question of al and li. What should be the nusach of the bracha? So the sugya establishes that the nusach of the bracha is al. And the reason for that is that whenever the bracha is recited after a mitzvah, it's not on the pa'ula, which is lamed, la'asos, but on the result of that pa'ula, which is the kiyum ha-mitzvah, and that's al. So for example, it could... Oh, I was going to think of it until you died. What are you saying about tefillin? Right.
And it's a rosh, you make al.
Not on the Maisa Anocha?
No.
So the question is why not? That's a fascinating question.
Lehoniach for the Maisa
Anocha. Right, it's done first.
The question is why? I don't know. But let me take a simpler case for me, personally.
Very well.
Okay, so you'll explain to me why we can't make a bracha lamed on the tefillin shel rosh. I don't know why, but okay, so you'll explain that to me in just a second. But before I lose my train of thought, in the case of netilas yadayim, first you wash your hands and then you make the bracha. Mm-hmm. So some poskim say, it goes back to Rishonim, that the bracha is on the niguv, but others would say that akati gav lo chazi, because since it's yadayim or tmeos, he doesn't make a bracha. So then I have to ask myself the question, so what should be the nusach ha-bracha? Bein lamar. In other words, again, whatever the reason is, but especially if you hold that the washing of the hands, even without the niguv, because again, even if you hold the brachas on the niguv, that's not because niguv is likuva, but rather niguv is part of the mitzvah. So there's still a piece of the mitzvah left for over lasiyasa. Okay, but the major part of the mitzvah is done already, and that would justify why the bracha is al netilas lulav. And if I could see the Rambam again, I think he maybe mentions al netilas lulav there. Let me just see if my memory serves me well. Oh, listen to this. Natal es halulav. You know, what's the bracha for lulav? Al netilas. Why is that? Says the Rambam, fascinating finish.
Already, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Nobody says like this, Rambam. You know, everybody breaks their head and tries to come up with another answer why it's al netilas lulav. The Rambam says, I'll tell you why it's al netilas lulav. Shekevan shekbio yotzi yidecho vaso. So the classical framework or structure of overlas yotzi according to Rambam doesn't apply to netilas lulav. Tosu says it does, but he didn't finish the mitzvah, he's still going to do nanuim, the whole 9 yards. But Rambam says no, he finished the mitzvah, so he makes the bracha on al. Then he goes on to say that netilas yadayim, he writes, is also al netilas yadayim. V'chein al bir chomet. The kevan shebodak is gomar belibo levatel esachomets. Okay, this is very problematic here, but the Rambam assumes that every bodek already did bittel because he's trying to destroy his chomet. Okay, I mean, you have to know exactly what bittel is. I don't know. And therefore, kvar nases mitzvos habir kodem sheyivdok, and therefore he makes the brachal. Now, according to the Rambam, it makes sense that tefillah, insofar as the bracha is after the tefillah, not according to the Rambam Shita, but at least according to Rashi Shita, against Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rambam himself is going to have a problem here. Why is the bracha in tefillah al tefillah in the case of Nida? So for that, I quote to you the Ran, and the Ran here in Psachim says the following. He says, Shar chayve tefilas mevarchim v'acher kach tovlim kishitas ha-gaonim v'rabbeinu Chananel. And he quotes the Rif's proof over here of nida kotza chalom v'vareches. Fine. And then he writes, V'chi teimaim kein b'shar kol atfilas kuchutz mitfilas ger nevarch b'lamid. Our question: the bracha should now be with a lamid according to the Gaonim and the Rif and Rabbeinu Kanal, etc., etc. V'yesh lomash lo ratzu lahaskin lahem shtei matbeo shel brach. Here's where we utilize Rashi's svar. Notice, we're not going to utilize Rashi's svar to trump the halacha of overlasiyosin and extend from Balkeri to all chavit fields, but we will use that kind of svar as far as the takonis habruch. In other words, tvila is one entity, and the bruch always has to be identical. Kevan the tvilas ger tzorech levarch bi'al. Because there the bracha is after the tevila. V'chein b'netilas yadayim. Is therefore they were masaking the bracha of al straight across the board for all tevilas. Interesting. Okay. Now, on this tour, there's a long drisha. It's like almost a page long. So I'm just going to summarize the main point of the drisha. The Drisha wants to say in the name of the Shari Dura that when the Gemara has in mind that the bracha on Tvila, Rav Chisda says, should be after the Tvila, he says, Kavanas HaGemara L'chol HaTvilos Shemavarchem Achrei HaTvil V'af Al Gav Nitzorech Over L'Asiyosan Mikomakom Tvila Shaini Kevan She'achar HaTvila Mevarech Bitara Shapir Dummy. I don't understand what this means, Mevarech Bitara. Again, just to reiterate, the Drisha claims that the Gemara Rav Chisda had in mind all tvilos, and we can forfeit the overlasiyosan. Why? Because Keva deliachra tefila mevarech betara shapir domi. I would push in my chiddush here. I don't know. It's not fair, but because I don't know if the preacher had this in mind. But what he means is that tara is a state of being. Tara is brought about by the ma'aseh tefila, but the result of that ma'aseh tefila is a state of being.
That's ongoing.
Maybe that's what he means by Tara. Otherwise, you read it on a superficial level, it sounds like we're giving him a gift, We're saying, don't worry about the brach, you'll do the brach afterwards because you're a tar, like shkoyach, give him shishi. Well, but maybe what he means is that Tara is an ongoing state. Oh.
Like ishes.
Now the Pisrei Tshuva says something wild. Says the Pesach Tshuva that even according to Rabbeinu Chananel, the Gaonim, the Rif, the Rambam, etc., Shulchan Aruch, that she makes the bracha before Tevila, Hani Mili Bechol, Avol B'Shabbos Tevarech Achrei HaTevila. Now, Rabbi Moshe, if I said this to you, you would throw me out, and you'd be right for doing so. But the Pesach Tshuva says it. You can't just throw out the Pesach Tshuva. I'll tell you what he says. He says, "Haheta litbol b'Shabbos, who mishum the Gemara in Beitza that we studied at great length about nira kemiyake, meaning tefila should be a tolda of makom b'patish because you change the status of the person, and that's why tefila's kelim is prohibited on Shabbos and on Yom." However, with regard to mikvah for Nida, they would make it. Why? Because we could always say that she's not doing it for the sake of what? Of tvila. You mean to transfer her status, to make a transition from Tomei to Tar, which would be a problem of tikkun mana. But rather she's doing it because she's cooling off. And we had a long discussion whether the poskim accept that bizmanenu, being in cold climates, when for Sephiroth she's cooling off, and so on. But anyway, that's Vashtate in the Gemara. That's the Gemara. Says the Pisrei Tshuva that if she makes the bracha before the tvila, you can't tell me she's going down to cool off. And therefore, for a different reason entirely, the bracha has to be postponed till after the tefillah. Not because of everything that we've discussed until this point. Namely, we can't achieve over lasiyasan, or we can achieve over lasiyasan. We paskin, according to Shulchan Aruch at least, not the Ashkenazim, but that we can achieve over lasiyasan. It's only the case of a ger who cannot achieve over lasiyasan. But nevertheless, there's a separate reason in Hilchas Shabbos why the brach has to come after the tefillah. And he says, Sharei aheta litbol b'shabbos hu bishum denira kemiyaker. The im tevarech kodem ala tvila nira la'ain kol de toveles l'shem tvila the asa mishum mitakein mon. And this is a fascinating tshuva of the quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva. I don't know lemaisa if this minig has been accepted. You know that she shouldn't make the bracha again amongst Sephardic women. It's not really relevant to Ashkenazic women because they, in general, make the bracha even during the weekday after the tefillah. But for Sephardic women who follow all the Gaonim and all the way up to and including the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what they do on Leil Shabbos. So we have to check the Alkud Yosef or on Hilchas Nida. Okay. Okay, the Bir Alocha quotes Yeshuas Yaakov. You heard of Yeshuas Yaakov? He was Orenstein was his name. Yeah, I got it as a gift from my bar mitzvah from Rabbi Salveji. Of course, you know, it took me 50 years till I opened it, because who reads Yeshuas Yaakov? Only the loved him know Yeshuas Yaakov. What was a bar mitzvah boy like me, you know, graduating Yeshiva Rambam in Flatbush? What was I going to do with the Yeshuas Yaakov? But anyway, I blew off the dust, and it's a big lamdan. So he writes that what is the Shulchan Aruch going to do on Leil Shabbos? Because according to Shulchan Aruch, she makes the bracha before she goes to mikvah, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about Shabbos. So he says that Kema de Toveles li Atzma lo minkar milsa v'lachein lo gazru al tefila zu u'yechola levarich. In other words, I think what he's saying is, the language is a little bit ambiguous, that we're not going to undermine this Nira Kemiyaker business just for this exceptional case of a woman who goes down to mikveh and she makes a bracha before she goes into the mikveh. In other words, we're going to assume that she knows she's going to the mikveh because she's going to the mikveh. So who are you fooling? Ella, we're afraid that others might misinterpret it. So you're going to say that they see the tefillah and then they hear the bracha. He says all that is irrelevant. In other words, what he's saying, that the nir tekimiyaker is just a way of defining the maisa tefillah. The maisa tefillah, in the case of a human being, as opposed to a keli, you know, you buy a new kli and you put it into mikvah, what are you doing such a thing for? In fact, my wife, after I come back from the mikvah with all the kalim, she washes all the kalim. So why did I put it into the mikvah if not for the sake of being matir, the iser of nochri, of klishal nochri? But in the case of a person, a human being, they go into the water for any number of reasons. So we're not going to make an exception here, says Yeshuas Yaakov, that because she makes a bracha, I mean, she knows from the get-go that she's going down for the sake of Tara. Ella, what we're dealing with, the action per se, and how do we define that action? So when the Chazal define it as Nira Kemiyaker, they're saying that we don't have to worry that it looks like Tikkun Mon. And therefore, even in the case where she makes a bracha, that's a private business. And
but it is, in essence, a Tikkun Mon.
Yes, it is a Tikkun Mon.
How do you get around that?
So the reason why we get around Tikkun Mon is because since it has another goal to it...
That's
it's Nirikim Miyaker, you know, it's also...
That's far-fetched.
I don't know. So we'll have to see the Sugyan Beitza. Okay, that I can't tell you. Okay. Now, what time is it now? It's getting late. The second half of the Shia today was going to be dedicated to the question of Erva. How could she make the bracha without violating the Iser Erva? And if you hold like Rashi, that in all tefillos the bracha is going to be recited after she comes up from the mikveh, then she could easily
get dressed
and make the bracha. That's not also so simple, because if you hold like the Gaonim, the problem is going to be that she's got to wear something in order to make the bracha and cover her erva, then it's not really over lasiyasan, because after the bracha she's going to have to do another pu'ula before she gets to the mitzvah of tefillah. In the reverse situation, according to Rashi, after she comes up from the mikvah, if you assume there's a problem of erva, that's going to be our subject of on Wednesday, Mitzvah Hashem, then it's again not over lasiyasan, because she's going to say she has to get dressed after she comes out of the mikvah before she makes the bracha. There's again a separation between the bracha and the tefillah. But again, perhaps according to our understanding, maybe it's not such a terrible problem, because according to Rashi, the bracha is not on the Maisa Tefillah, but on the Chalos Tara, and therefore that Chalos Tara, insofar as it's an ongoing situation, maybe there's not such a problem. If she gets dressed to make that bracha, she still is in a state of Tara. But if you go like the Gaonim, then the bracha is clearly on the Maisa Tefillah, and then if she's wearing her clothes before she, at the time she makes the bracha, then taking off her clothes is itself going to be a hefsek, and it's going to undermine the over lasi osman. So what did you gain by this? So we're going to try to work it out in such a way that maybe we could avoid the iser of a bracha b'makom erva, even without creating a hefsek between the bracha and the tefillah. Okay, then. So that's what we have. The tefillah itself is not minkar milsa. It's not trying to figure out this issue. It's lo gozal tefillah zu. And since the act of tefillah, as we define it as an abstract act, is not minkar milsa, and the tnai of what? Of tikkun mana, it's got to be minkar milsa. So if this tefillah is not minkar milsa, then there's no tikkun mana in this tefillah. It's lacking the condition of minkar milsa. Is mebeli yichol levar. In other words, what we're saying is that the tefillah itself, in and of itself, inherently, is not an act of tikkun mana because it's not minkar milsa. So on that, the Yeshuas Yaakov wants to say that once there's no minkar milsa and there's no nirakim esakim, we could already allow her to make the bracha. Vein hagedah shemutol litbol kishenira kimiyaker. Notice we don't need to say that every time you want to be matir tevila on Shabbos, you have to say, well, it's nira kimiyaker. There are many cases where it's not nira kimiyaker, and yet it's mutter. Why? Because the act of tevila itself is defined, is classified as min karmilsa, as lo min karmilsa. Now, Ledina, how do we paskin on this? Interesting. There's machlokas haposkim, this I didn't know about, as to what she should do on Leil Shabbos. And it'll also be noger to the tefillas ger on Shabbos. Let's see, how would this be noger to the tefillas ger? That's a great tikkun mana. He's going from the state of being a goy to the state of being a Jew, so that should be tikkun mana. So you're going to have to say that it's nira kimiyake, and that's why in tefillas ger you could have on Shabbos, and there's no, it's not min karmilsa l'shem tikkun mana. So in the case of tefillas ger, we don't really have the problem of the bracha, because the bracha is after the tefillah. But in the case of nida, according to the Gaonim, the bracha is before the tefillah, that l'chor should be mafkia the heter of nira kimiyak. And the answer is that we have to define the essence of the tefillah itself. The tefillah itself is not minkar mils. That's how we define tefillah. The nature of tefillah is such that it's not minkar milsa. And if it's not minkar milsa, then we don't have the principle of the Isur of Mesakin Mona, and then we don't have to apply that yardstick in every single situation, every single mitzius, and say, is it Minkar Milsa? Is it not Minkar Milsa? By definition, Tefillah itself inherently is called Lo Minkar Milsa. So the bracha is not going to change that situation. But Lamaisa, how exactly the Sfaradiyot Noeg on Noegos on Shabbos, do they recite the bracha before the tefillah or after the tefillah? I don't know. My inclination is, since the Shulchan Aruch was so same, he didn't say anything, that even according to the Mechaber, there's no switch in the bracha on Shabbos. Okay, that's what the Yeshua Yaakov wants to say. And here we have to look in the Igros Moshe and see what he says.
Have a good day.
Yeah, Kol Tov, have a great day. Igros Moshe is in Or Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf, Chof, Vov, Anaf, Zion, if we could get a hold of it.